Yeah, Kevin, if you'll go ahead and start that for me. So let me ask you something just real quick. When you think about the Bible, what are some of the amazing miracles that you think about? Like, okay, Lazarus getting raised from the dead. Huge one. Anything else? What else? Healing the blind. What? The Dead Sea or the Red Sea? Okay, yeah. The virgin birth is an amazing one, and that's the, you know, we're going to kind of get on that. But there's all these different miracles, you know, parting, like, I think that's what you're talking about, parting the Red Sea and raising people from the dead, healing a man born blind. There's so many miracles in the Bible that, I mean, are just mind-blowing, very difficult sometimes to even wrap the mind around. But for me, there's one miracle that just tops them all. It's a miracle that just is, it staggers me. It could shake me up if I let it, if I thought about it too long, without being reverent before it. But let me just read you something that it says in the book of Matthew. In Matthew, it says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. He didn't want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your... We know angels have British accents. That's, if there's anything Hollywood's taught us, it's that. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. To me, the miracle that is possibly the greatest miracle that is mind-blowing for me, that I have struggles with at times, wrapping my mind around, is this, that God became a baby. Not just a human being, because, I mean, yes, he became a human being. And it's one of those things that we can, you know, John's gospel opens, the word became flesh. And so we think in that terms of yes, God took on humanity and came and identified with us that way. But to become a baby, that's something more profound in so many ways. In John's gospel, he describes Jesus as the Word, and he says this, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. God created everything through Jesus, the Word. And then the Word became flesh by becoming a baby. That's just amazing to me. A baby who had to be fed. Who had to have his diaper changed. I mean, a completely helpless newborn who could do nothing for himself. When you think about the most helpless creatures on the planet at any given time, it's going to be a newborn human being. You go to the animal kingdom, they at least have an immediate ability to do something for themselves. Babies in our context of humanity can do nothing for themselves. They are, you know, they're the loudest, smallest being in the house and take over everything because they can't do anything for themselves. The one who created the galaxies and put everything in its place, in its proper order, so that it runs continuously over the ages, did this simply through the spoken word, became a baby who couldn't speak a single word in any language on the planet. A baby who was completely helpless. The one who spoke and all matter was formed. And all the intricacies of this created world that we see around us was formed through his power. Wasn't able to get up and move across the room without somebody carrying him. God was a baby. Someone had to hold him. Someone had to bundle him up and make sure he stayed warm. Someone had to think for him using the brain that he himself had designed for them to use. God was a baby, but not in a palace nursery somewhere in some important city. No, A baby in a hay manger in some beat up little Roman colony that nobody ever heard of, born among the most persecuted people on the planet. Born in apparent shame, his teenage mother pregnant before she was married. The second personality of the triune God was a helpless infant in a violent world of empires and human sin. God came into the world that way. That's how God chose to do this. If you think about it long enough, it actually can cause critical overload. You have to shut down the program. There's just not enough RAM to process the whole thing. And you wonder sometimes how anybody believes this. I mean, you know, yes, God came to earth to save us. He stepped into the world. Oh, yeah, okay. He made everything. Yeah, yeah. Then he became a baby and came. Wait, well, he did what? He became what? God became a baby to do this. And I can't tell you how. I mean, that's the thing about it. That's one of those things that the Bible is very short on answers about. And actually, the New Testament even warns us, keep it simple. Don't try to get into this. The incarnation, God taking on flesh, this is not a puzzle for us to solve or to be worked out. It's a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us that. Great is the mystery of godliness that God took on flesh. It's a big one. The gospel doesn't even suggest explanations. It simply presents us with the story and sort of lays it there and says, take it or leave it. But if you take it, if you'll embrace the possibilities of it, you'll find life you never dreamed possible. Through embracing something as wild and as crazy as this, you'll find life that you never even could have conceived of before. In Philippians 2, Paul tells us that Jesus coming to the earth was a self-emptying. In other words, he took on the form of a servant. He was counted as equal with God, but then took on the form of a servant and was obedient to the point of dying as a sacrifice for our sins. But sacrifice is all over Christ's appearance on earth. Sacrifice was not just the event of Jesus going to the cross at Calvary. It starts in Bethlehem. It starts there. But the sound of a baby crying is the sound of God breaking into this world. God didn't come to us wielding a sword. He didn't come with flaming armies behind him. No, he came as the most helpless being he could take the form of, demonstrating for us the nature of sacrificial love. And it's through that love that the kingdom of God advances. I'm tired too. I'm going to go quickly here. Our celebration of Christmas, remember this, is not the rattling of swords. It's not to get in there to celebrate Christmas based on the nature of what Christmas is all about. It's not for us to rattle swords or get in there and stir up trouble in an already violent world. It's a reminder that God upends the world's way by identifying with the least of us, by loving and forgiving enemies. God became a baby and he set the course for rescuing the world by doing that. So let's follow his lead. Let's think about that as we celebrate Christmas this year. Let's follow his path of sacrificial love. Angelus Silesius, the German poet and mystic, once wrote, Christ could be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but all in vain until he's born in me. Let's allow Christ to be born in our lives this Christmas. Let's consider what we do and how we present ourselves and what battles we fight. Let's think about how we can truly embody the humility and sacrifice of Christ, who would come in the form of a baby, who would represent that kind of love to the world. Right on? We made it. We made it through, buddy. We did it. Yeah! So, Father, I just pray for each of us. I pray, Lord, that we can embrace that reality, that we can live in that kind of sacrificial love, that we can reveal to the world how really important it is that you came into the world and took on flesh, not just for the sacrifice for our sins, though that changes everything, but that you came to reveal what love can really be like, what lengths love will go to. to rescue and to turn this world around. So help us be the people of that kind of love. Let that Christmas love be revealed in our hearts, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces and schools this Christmas. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you guys stand up with us again?